This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella loved to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her.
Waiting for right now. Oh!
Oof.
When you would be talking about drag, waiting for right now.
Oh, ow! Oh, oh.
Sorry, we're trying out some new theme songs. As you can tell, I'm trying something like really Bjork-y, really different, which is why I'm not hitting the notes. That's an on purpose thing. And you're listening to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Recap Drag Race Podcast Pod Drag cast for all the people in this great universe. I'm Manu Agapian, and I am unfortunately joined by the rotted dumpster of a cunt, my sister, Oscar Montoya.
Hi, what nice words you have for me. Oh, it's so good to be a guest on a podcast and have such sweet, nice things being said about you. It really is such an honor and a pleasure to be here. And sister, I love you. I adore you. I think you're incredibly talented. And you have a lot of potential. You have a lot of gifts give to the world, you know?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. I mean, coming from someone who has no idea what their own potential is, it means a lot that you can see that in me. It means a lot.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing all of this that you have to say, all this venom that you have to say. And I recognize that it comes from a place of insecurity. I recognize that. And, I'm at peace with it, you know? Uh-huh. And I'm at peace with you being absolutely ugly as hell.
Is that how you feel? Like you're at peace
to
with me?
To quote Latrice.
Oh, no. I'm Fifi on the fucking the Vote challenge.
I mean, on Drag the Vote, talk about just in life, okay?
That was a really rough moment. It's kind of like your vagina.
Okay, what are the top three roughest moments in Drag Race?
Ooh, I love this question. This is a great way to kick it off. I would say the ganja stand-up. You know what? No, pheromones roast is rougher than La Ganja stand-up. Pheromones roast is, don't you have to have talent to judge it? Oh. So that's mine, and then, now you go.
Oh my God!
You're so right, because it is so cringy and like also kind of just forgettable, which makes
horrible.
It even worse.
The ganjas is better than that by it for sure. Mm-hmm. It is cringy. Okay, now you say one.
One of the biggest cringe moments is Mrs. Kasha Davis hosting the DESPY Awards.
Oh,
and just that soundbite
right.
of her fucking up. Welcome to the DESPY Awards. It's like,
why
oof.
Is it?
Because we've all been there, and it's just like, oh, Mrs. Kasha Davis is such a mood that for her to fuck up that way is just like, ooh, cringe city.
I know. That was a cringe moment. And it's so funny, just like that millisecond, you'll never get that millisecond back, and somehow that was the game changer. Like, was it.
And the editors were very much like praying to their gods that worked out for them.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, ooh, storyline, bitch, here we go.
They this were like we wolves. Her. That just found a corpse. They were like, they were so pumped. Let's say another cringy moment I will say is Chanel eliminating herself.
Oof,
but
yes,
I think that might not even. No, I'm going to take that back. Because there's a cringier moment in season one is when Jade thinks that the Oprah challenge is about painting like Oprah. And then her sisters have to go, honey, that's not what the challenge is. And she's like, she's right. Completely shocked that it's not about looking like Oprah. That was rough.
That was really rough. I mean,
just so we each have one, I want you to do one more too. Just so we each have two.
You know what? Here's what I'll say. A cringe moment, and that's not to fault any of the queens, and it's more like just society at large, mm-hmm. is every time a big girl is on the show, mm-hmm. for in a sketch, in Snatch Game, if they have to portray a big girl, why they gotta always have food on them? They gotta be eating all the
yes.
time.
Yes. Yes, like Stacey Lane.
It's just Adele, like when Ginger Minj did Adele. It's just like,
that's real.
Really? Course, that's Latrice, how you convey that Latrice. You're a bigger person? Like,
yeah.
It's just so, and I mean, it's just a product of like what happens in literally all media. But it was just like, girls, we don't gotta be doing that. We don't gotta be doing that. You know,
that
don't be
tired.
Eating to show us that you're big. Like, don't.
It's pretty goofy. It's pretty mm-hmm. goofy and boring. You're right. You're right. An honorable mention goes to Roxy Andrews' rap in Red You Wrote You. Honorable
Actually,
mention.
I but disagree. Disagree.
Okay. Because
disagree.
I know. Okay. Talk to me. Because look, I know what you're gonna say, and I actually agree because it weirdly became canon.
Yes, you're right. I mean, yes, I do agree with you to a certain extent, but I also do think that the outcome of it sort of became iconic. We're all quoting it, bitch. We quote it on a daily. You know what I mean?
I think I could.
Is that really cringe? Is that really cringe?
I don't know if it is. No, it's not.
Let the listeners decide.
God, I could do this all day.
Also, let us know. See, I'm doing your job for you. This is embarrassing on your side. Like, you are a terrible host. Listeners,
let us know
any cringe moments in Drag Race. Hit us up. Tag me and Mono and literally anybody who's in charge to sort of just like see if,
this little queen is really coming for my gig. This queen is really coming for my gig right now.
Literally.
Listen, Coco Montrese. I know you're real ready. I know you're very ready to snatch the crown. But you know what? You see that picture? I got that moment right there. But who's in the picture? Oscar Montoya. Oh, bitch. Okay.
Oh, my
God. Let's dig into this episode.
I love you, stupid bitch.
I love you, too.
I hate how much I love you.
Honestly, it's mm-hmm. terrible. But I truly understand what abusive relationships are built on. So let's dig into episode 5. This is an incredible episode of Drag Race Thailand.
But did you gag, though?
I did, and once again, I know you've been saying this, it just made me like that much more upset that we're mm-hmm. not talking about this as much as other seasons of Drag Race.
Why is that? Why are we not just like constantly referencing Drag Race Thailand season 2 as like the pinnacle of reality TV?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I honestly know why. It's just like, and this is it, you know, you can say it's racist, which it probably is, but another more simple, and unfortunately, it's actually more ignorant than racist, which is a kind of racism, but it's just ignorant because people don't want to read and watch TV.
I know.
That's it.
I know. Like, I think that's what people had. I mean, you haven't covered this in the podcast yet, but that's what a lot of people's issues was with Drag Race Holland, of like, having to read and stuff. But to me, here's the thing. Drag Race Holland was not great. I'm going to say right now, there were some really great queens, but overall, just not as good as the franchise. I mean, you know, where's the lie? Honestly, show me.
Well, did you enjoy it more than Canada?
No, I loved Canada. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I love Drag Race Canada. Did you not like Canada?
I have not finished Holland. I liked Canada, but I think I liked Canada, but there were just moments for me where I was like, I'm not living. And I don't know why.
There were a lot of crunchy-ass moments in the show. And yes, we don't have RuPaul. And I do think that RuPaul does offer a sort of like magic that the three judges just didn't have. No shade to any of the judges, because I do, you know, say what you will about Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. I do like him. I do think
I like them all. I like them all. I think they just their roles weren't solidified.
And you know, this is the first time in the franchise where, like, you didn't have RuPaul. So a lot of people were thrown. So I think there's a lot of negative energy misdirected at Jeffrey Boyer Chapman because RuPaul isn't there. But I do think, looking back, I dare you to look back at Canada and not gag at Sorry, Not Sorry, which is literally my Bible. I watch that video on a daily basis. Shout out to Boa. Boa's verse is by far the best. Also, Kiara's verse.
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
Can get it.
That's real. That's real.
But I do, but I, despite the crunchiness of Canada, I do think that there is legitimately stars in that cast.
Oh yeah, the talent is there. I mean, you see it in the lip syncs, you see it in a lot of the comedy challenges.
Yeah.
But so, there's just tiny moments of disconnect, especially with the runway. But
and here's what I'll say too. And actually this connects with this episode of Drag Race Thailand, that the parts that are weak in the international Drag Race franchise is the sketches, the video sketches. You know what I mean? They sort of miss the mark just because as a stupid, dumb, ignorant American, I don't really get a lot of the references. And to me, it just isn't like funny to me. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. You mean the sketches period, or you mean the sketches in this episode of Drag Race Thailand?
Both. Just like those forced parody videos that they make them do. I don't think they even work in the U.S. Drag Race, really, because
they rarely do. Sometimes they can edit together something that works well. I mean, there have been exceptions, but you're right. They're pretty clunky, and unfortunately, we are really picky because we've done a lot of improv and sketch. Blah, blah.
Yes.
Oh, I know. Wow, how interesting. You're talking about that again. I know. But let's go ahead and jump in because
take
this
a shot
perfectly.
Every time Mono references his quote unquote comedic training.
Ooh. I mean, I would say you have comedic training, but I think your
finish
obedience.
It, bitch.
Your
finish
obedience,
the sentence, bitch.
Your obedience training is really what you should be applauded for.
Damn.
Because
she really came for me, huh?
The fact that this dog can walk on two legs is bravo. Bravo.
Gutted.
Gutted. Rotted.
Rotted.
So they do this really funny, strange improv-ish challenge where these
This worked to me.
Okay, it kind of worked, but they need better improvisers there because guess what? These gorgeous, stunning men are not good scene partners.
Didn't one of the queens, Gimhwa, was like, listen, they were so unhelpful. They kept saying no to me, to all of my offers. And it's like, that's rule 101. As Mono can tell you, because he's a trained comedic actor, always say yes and, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I learned that from Jackie Cox, because the first rule of improv is yes and. My God. So they have this weird setup where they're coming into a hotel and these beautiful hot men are playing presumably people who work at the hotel.
You know
they
what?
They get to
unclear.
Pick their own character.
You know it's what? Unclear.
Super unclear. It's so unclear.
I mean, we know the where in the scene, but we don't know who the fuck you are, sir, or what the fuck is happening. You know what I
mean? It is wild. So, okay, Tormai is the first one seen, and she says, I'm coming in as a hooker. And, you know, she gets whatever. They're trying to kick her out because they're saying, you're a woman of the night. And she gets the biggest gag because she then has a character reveal planned when she pretends to be a dad who needs to go pick up their kid.
Yeah. Which I'm struggling and sort of like trying to follow the lily pad to get to that point A to that point Q. Mm-hmm. But it was still funny as hell, and it got the biggest laugh from everybody.
It's a great button. It's a, you know, and it's like, if nothing else, be like, well, this button will hit, so let's...
Exactly, yeah. Because I don't think she was particularly, like, good.
No.
But the button really saved it. The button really.
Totally.
I mean, gave her the win. Spoiler alert, sorry.
And speaking of cringe, Gimwai comes in next, and she is a bigger queen who wants food and has food in her purse.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. See? Damn.
There you go.
Damn.
There you go.
It simply cannot be helped, I guess.
It can't be helped. It's a panic choice, you know? You're like, I'll make fun of myself.
But also, it's fucked up that they gave the bigger girl that prompt. Because those prompts were chosen for the queens.
Wait. I didn't know that. I thought they got to choose their own character.
No, because at the beginning they were like, we chose the scenario for you, girl. And you have to deliver. And that's why they got into like that specific hair and makeup, you know? And for me, it is just like, okay, ha ha ha, very funny, but like really? And I just wish Gimhwai, I mean, if I were Gimhwai, I would probably do the same because it is like you are pandering to the judges who are already looking at you in a very specific way. So I don't know what I would have done to make that actually funny. Also, that's not funny. Someone who's rich and hungry, like, I don't know what to do with that.
That's not hungry. that's really not hungry if you ask me. I guess, no, but really it's like, that's not, I'm trying to think what's funny about that. Is it funny if she's like, it's so hard to make funny.
It's apples and oranges. It's like those two don't really connect at all to me.
No, it's weird. It's boring. It's lame. And it's just like, maybe I hate it because everything I'm even trying to pitch on this, like, is also based in like, you know, shitty diet culture and body shaming. So I'm like, I'm not obsessed.
So don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go right to Srimala, who's playing, again, a very open woman of the night. A very open. I don't know if she's a sex worker.
But that wasn't the prompt, though. The gag is that wasn't the prompt. The prompt was she was the wife of the rival hotel manager. And she just made it sexual, I guess.
I got none of that. She wants cards. She wants cards. At some point, she wanted cards, and I was like, okay, all right, great,
oh,
awesome.
Oh my gosh!
But she's a treat. She's fun.
She's such a treat.
She's good at even when she's failing.
I'm just generally biased. I cannot say a bad thing about Srimala.
I know,
because I just love her so much.
She's a joy. I do think the judges are a little they just love her so much and unfairly.
I know. Yes, very much so.
Because then Kana is next. Mm-hmm. And Kana comes in as, when she says, oh, I'm coming in as a guest and there's going to be lots of shitting and farting. I got nervous. And then she has to shit. She needs to shit. She then shits in the lobby. And there's sort of a gag where she falls in her own shit.
But did you not laugh, though?
I thought it was great.
I loved it. And I was like, oh, this is going to win.
I mean, in general, in this episode, they are really sleeping on Kana in a way that is actually frustrating.
Mm.
It's really annoying. It's
more
really annoying.
On that.
More on that. More to come.
Mm-hmm.
Anjali is late because the village dog died.
Which is funny. Which is patently funny.
It's funny.
But then you see her panicking throughout. Like, she got a nice little dig in there. She got a nice little barb in there. And then you see her sort of like fall apart. And then do what a lot of like amateur improvisers do, which is get angry for no reason and then walk out of the scene.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just a shutdown with emotion. Mm-hmm. Do we both love this because we come from some village ass origins? Like, we both come from village people, truly.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about homos. I'm talking about...
Well, we are talking about that too, but we literally do come from villages.
Village people.
Google it, bitch. Google.
Google it. I love it. I do love that. Like, any village specifics are fucking
I love it.
Funny.
I love it. It resonates for me. I get it.
It's hard. I mean, we don't have time for this, but we'll talk villages. Okay, here's the story in a sentence. When I went to go visit my grandfather's village in Greece, the name of the island is Holes. The literal name of the island is Tripes, which means holes.
Damn, you were born to be gay. I mean,
and these motherfuckers have a village phone.
Yes.
That is just a phone on a pole. Someone answers it, and then they start yelling, Stavroula! Stavroula! Like, and they're just yelling, like, come, get the phone. And, like, that's the system.
And you know what? That's quaint village life. That's the norm, you know? For example, me, I didn't have any paved roads, and my house faced a landfill, and that was my playground. I would play with, and I kid you not, vulture carcasses, and I would have a true gag every single day.
Come on, Colombia. I love
that. So we know about village life.
We know, honey. So Mocha was just mean. This is another improv fail. It's so common, and it's just like, no.
You could tell Mocha was a shitty improviser from jump. You could tell.
She was mean. And she really...
And unfunny.
Yeah, not funny. Okay, let's talk about Jeannie. Jeannie is a klepto who's like a housekeeping klepto.
Jeannie who did not bother to change into a different outfit. Was like, you know what? I'm going to wear this vest and this Mickey Mouse shirt, you know.
True.
And I'm just going to work on my face. That's all I'm going to do.
That is
It was
funny.
Very funny.
It was very funny. And I did enjoy the pearls laying in her hair. I was like, okay.
She gave you storyline.
She gave it to us. Maya is a foreigner who's coming to this American hotel.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. It sort of worked because she got him on his slip up. She called out the obvious because he was like, he wasn't listening to her and named the hotel something that it was not.
Yeah.
And instead of just glossing over, she was like, wait a second, do you know where you are? And that got a big laugh. So I applaud Maya for really being present and being on top of her game and calling out the unusual, you know?
That is
fun. I hate
fun.
To give you an improv lesson, but like
Thank
that's
you.
How it's done.
But it's very meta. And, you know, look, meta jokes work, especially they're one and done, you know?
Exactly.
Got the joke.
And then you keep it moving.
Keep it pushing, honey. Bandit? Okay. Bandit looks awesome.
Bandit, the winner of the challenge, in my opinion.
Bandit is a wet ghost, and her partner... her partner's not talking to her. And actually, before Yes And, the first rule of improv is talk to your partner. You have to talk to
them. What an asshole move to be like... not engaging with a ghost to get to the point of like, oh, this person's a ghost. Great. I'm just going to pretend it's not there.
Horrible.
And then Bandit was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to make it work. And she made it work.
She made it work. But my God, I was bummed at how hard she had to work because she looked just perfectly incredible. She was
so
really
good.
Deep in character.
So good. I'm so mad that she didn't win the challenge because she really deserved that win.
I know. Just like Jeannie said last week, which she was awesome when she came on, she was like, you are really going to start to see the production putting their hands on everything. And I'm already seeing it.
I mean, we saw it today, bitch. We saw it today.
We sure did. Mm-hmm. Next is Vonda, who's playing a granny who yells about people, granny stuff and people having shoes on inside. Okay.
I mean, it was okay, but the funniest, there was a funny moment where she kept laughing after a comment. Like, he'd be like, what are you doing? And her response would be like, it was really funny. It was really funny, truly.
Vonda's funny. I mean, yeah, she's pretty funny. And in amongst this group where everyone's doing okay, Tormai and Vonda win, and they get to become team captains. Because there's a lot of drama happening. The drama's really happening now between the international girls and the Thai girls.
Yes, I know. There's a rift there.
I know. Kana has lip-synced twice.
And we see that exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we see that especially in the casting of this. Is that what you're going to say?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, like the people who pick... who's on their team, like, we see that. Like, oh, it's very... I mean, they even say it. It's the Thai team and the international team. So.
They even say it on the judges panel, which I was like, girl, I don't know. I don't know about that, because...
I mean, the producers were like, hey, listen, we're not going to pretend. This is a stunt. Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
And you know what? I ate it up.
Look, I mean, that's just like any Olympian, after they stick the landing, they say, that was a stunt. Enjoy.
Yeah, because that's what they do always. They always say that was a stunt they pull the stunt.
I've seen videos of Carrie Strug after she lands on her little hurt ankle. And she says, she says, if you roll back the tapes, she looks into the camera dead on and says, Props to your mama.
The bitch found the camera. She scanned the entire stadium, looked at the one camera, because you know there was only one camera recording the whole thing, and said, props to your mama.
That's right. Yeah, roll back the tape. Roll back the tape. So, so the Maxi Challenge is the Haunted Dolls, which I guess is also a real TV show? Is it a real TV show? Girl.
Blink, blink, blink. I don't know.
I don't know either. But they have this. I love that they have two teams and they're doing the same script.
Yes.
They're both doing the same script.
Which is scary. I would be scared. I'd be like, oh, fuck, there's no room for. I mean, there is an added pressure of like taking those words and then like changing them to make it funnier against the other team. Like, I'd be nervous.
Yeah, it is. It is weird, and especially weird because later they're like, no, don't change it too much now. Don't change it too much now.
I know. There was a little drama there. But they had to translate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That in itself is so challenging.
It feels like it was a trap.
I'm fully bilingual. I speak English and Spanish. Mm-hmm. And every time I translate, I get so stressed out every time I have to translate something. Because I'm like, ooh. I mean, changing one language to another, it's not going to be 100% carbon copy.
Totally.
But it's stressful. It's very, very, very stressful.
It's stressful. And, you know, comedy is so different in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are things that are for real, no pun intended, lost in translation.
Truly, truly. Okay, so here's a fun example. So in Greek, you can say nah. Like you can give someone the hand and you say nah. And what that literally translates to is shit in your face.
Excuse me?
And may shit in your face.
Wait, come
and,
again?
And I'm not even done.
Say it one more time. Rule of threes, bitch. Come on. You do comedy.
Shit in your face.
Oh, wow.
Shit in your face. And may the closest water to clean it off with be in Constantinople.
All that from nah?
Nah. Now, obviously, it's a colloquialism and, you know, it's sort of evolved over time to be understood culturally to what that means. But that's something you can say in Greek and it's like, whoa, I'm getting an image. Whereas you can't translate that into a script.
Like, what's the equivalent of that in English?
I guess it would be like talk to the hand or.
But that's too long. I'm tired. When I get to hand, I'm exhausted.
I guess like girl bye or like.
It's not as fun. It's not
see?
As fun.
See, you know
there
what I mean?
There is no translation. Yeah, you're
no
right.
No translation. Not going to work. But so they're
look
translating.
At this. I'm learning today. Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, today she's learning.
Okay. I got to put
Wait,
on my
is there
freaking
a fun? Is there something fun in Spanish that's like, this is so funny in Spanish and it's not the same in English?
Yes. I mean, there's but a I can't million. Think of anything right now. So y'all
okay,
do your research.
On it.
I'm not getting paid to teach y'all, so.
No, she's not. She's not our educator. Are you excited about Drag Race Spain?
I am. I am a little bit. Well, Spain is like, I mean, because I'm South American, you know.
Right.
Latinx, and Spain is very much like.
But we get a franchise where we will have Spanish speaking.
But I'm excited. You know, I was very excited about the Switch. It was very, you know, very, very different from Drag Race. It's the Chilean version of Drag Race, like loosely. Version of Drag Race, but I was very excited about that because I got to see like South American drag and how different it was to American drag. But did they release a like Meet the Queens of?
Not yet.
Okay, they haven't announced anything other than the show announcement.
Yes, they just said it's coming. We'll see when that comes.
I'm excited.
It
but
could
you know
be
what?
Cute.
I'm waiting for Drag Race Australia. Why hasn't that been?
I know.
Happening.
I mean, trust
That's
me, it's
so
coming.
Bizarre to me. It
Worry
must be.
Not.
It must be. But I'm like, yo, Australia, step it up.
Right? I don't know how to say that. So, trust me, we're going to get a lot of drag races. We're going to get it. I just hope.
Too much?
Too much. I just hope we don't reach point ANTM where it truly dissipates.
Bitch, I would appreciate it if you didn't bring up my other favorite show.
I know you want to be on top. I know that that's what you want. But I, look, speaking of cringeworthy moments.
Ooh! That's for another podcast, bitch.
That's for another podcast. But I will say there are a few moments that make me as uncomfortable as Shandy telling her boyfriend she cheated.
Oof.
You had sex! Fucking bitch! Bitch!
I mean, those are real. Ooh, I could go, oof. Oof.
Oof. Oof. Don't okay, try so let's me. Talk. Don't try me. I won't try you. I won't try you. Let's talk about the teams because yes. if I'm remembering correctly, Vonda chooses mm-hmm. Bandit, Anjali, Jeannie, and Mocha.
Yes. Yeah.
And then
all the international queens and Bandit to act as a translator. Very smart on Vonda's part, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anjali is kind of hometown though, right? Isn't she hometown or is she international? She's
hometown. Yeah, she's hometown, okay. But she could speak English fluently.
Right. Okay, so Tormai then chooses Kana, Gimhwai, Srimala, and Maya Biharo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, work.
The other
work.
Girls.
The other girls. So Bandit's really worried, you know, because she's worried that Jeannie is going to be opinionated about the casting.
Right.
So right. There's a lot of tension.
And you see a clip of Jeannie sort of like giving her input, but to me that didn't read as being bossy in any way. So I don't know what, but I do have a feeling of Bandit because Bandit is a fashion teacher of being like, I'm in charge. Like, mm-hmm. And anybody giving their input is seen as like a direct attack for Bandit. So I see Bandit's type A personality sort of clash in terms of like, no, I'm the leader.
Work. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And then we'll talk about like, okay, we'll kind of talk about this rehearsal mess, but this rehearsal montage is one of the most chaotic pieces of film that I don't know if it helped at all in the storytelling. I thought we could have just skipped this and gotten actually to see the challenge.
Listen, this shit was more chaotic than Tyra Banks hosting Dancing with the Stars, okay?
Ooh, listen, this shit was more chaotic than Kevin and Britt on the CW. This
this shit was more chaotic than Fergie singing the national anthem in that basketball game.
Oh my God, this shit was more chaotic than Lindsay Lohan's recent release, I think called Crack. I think she released a song called Crack.
Okay, you win, bitch. You win. Fine.
Okay. So look, we're going to get into all of that. But first, we have to take a break.
Do we have to?
Yes, honey. Yes, honey. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food. But you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3... I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Ooh, it's heating up, baby. That means it's time to make plans for summer. Now, this summer, you could be a basic bitch and you could go to New York or you could go to LA or you could go to, I don't know, Mykonos. Bitch, shut your basic ass down and shut the fuck up before I get you down. What I'm really saying is you need to go somewhere fun. If you have pride, you need to go somewhere that is an adventure filled with pride. I'm not talking about the same places that you've seen on Instagram already. No! Don't you have an imagination, girl?
Get your ass to Provincetown, because Provincetown is not only queer mecca, it's a place where cultural diversity takes pride. Come on! Do you like glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches, and more? I know I do. And that's why I'm going to P-Town this summer, baby. P-Town is so fun. If you haven't been, you're really missing out. It is, has a small town vibe, but there's stuff going on 24/7 like it is a big city. You get the best of both worlds. You live your bungalow a fantasy. You get to go out. You get to see drag. You get to be amongst all the queers. And you get to do it in a cute, beautiful little town that has events like Pride, Girl Splash, Bear Week, Family Week, Carnival, and Trans Week. I love P-Town. And if you want a good time, you need to plan your trip now. So sashay your way to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com, and learn more about what kind of fantasies you can unfold this summer. Better do it quick before everything gets booked up, diva. Go to ptowntourism.com.
Bring back my break. Do you like
Maggie
it yet?
Smith.
Do you like
Smith,
it?
Yes, the queen. Yes.
Speaking of Snatch Game.
Sponsored post. Netflix's
post.
The Crown is now streaming.
Now streaming, I haven't seen any of that. You know, okay, before we talk about anything, did you know there's a show called Slag Wars hosted by the Cock Destroyers?
I'm sorry?
There is a new show that's like about to come out that's like a competitive show where seven rotted
Liar.
Whores. They're
liar.
All like self-described cock destroyers.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Bitch, go to slagwars.com.
Oh my God.
There's a
no,
trailer.
No, because you just then made my month then. If that is true.
The trailer will blow your top off because
oh my God,
it's somehow about disgusting self, like body positive cock sluts who also have feelings and dimension. It is wild.
Hosted by our two favorite girls.
Hosted by our two favorite gals.
Oh my God. Our patronesses.
Our patronesses.
Oh my God.
You have to watch the trailer and then we'll
talk. I can't
wait.
Okay. Okay, I got homework. I got homework.
You know, as we say on our other podcast killed the video star. We come.
where can people follow that? Well, you know, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I mean, we'll say it more than once, but you know, you can find us wherever podcasts are sold for free, and you can watch us on Patreon. First app is completely free. We might be on YouTube. We might not.
We might not, but we definitely will be on Patreon and wherever you listen to your podcast. So that's Podcast Killed the Video Star.
Ding. Okay. So now we're getting into the haunted dolls. We don't even talk about them rehearsing it.
What's the premise of this? Please break it down for me. What's the plot of the haunted dolls?
So, okay, let's see. Okay, we'll talk about, should we talk about them, our main hosts coming out on the runway first, or should we talk about the acting challenge?
No, let's talk about the acting challenge and then the hosts.
Okay, great. Okay, I think the story is...
I see you sweating, Mono. I am sweating.
My understanding is that the story is about a rich woman invites her very much less rich friend over to her home where...
Question mark.
It could be a store. It could be her home. And she is asking if she can have some of the goods. She obviously can't because the rich woman is very selfish. And as the less affluent friend leaves, kicking some of the dolls brings their spirit to life.
There's dolls, by the way.
And
what?
These dolls are mad and they want to kill the rich woman for no reason.
They can be silly. They could be silly sometimes.
They're a little funny. They're Star Wars rules. They're evil but hilarious.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. They want to kill them. And then eventually, though the poorer friend does not think, you know, refuses to believe, in the end, the ghosts win and murder everyone?
Question mark. That's inconclusive.
That's what I think the story is behind this very strange thing that they seem to not want them to make too funny.
Yeah.
Because the theme of the week is drama. This is so...
Yeah, again, this is really, this is not what the episode is about. This is just the byproduct of the best part of the episode, which I think is the runway, but we'll get to that.
So let's just talk about the first team, right? The first team has Bandit playing a plastic surgery loving friend. And I think this was the performance.
No, Kana, not Bandit.
I'm sorry. Kana,
my
bad. Oh my
God, you're confusing the fashion queens. Ooh. Cancel her now.
Canceled. I'm sorry. Kana loves plastic surgery. This is the performance of the whole episode for me.
Fully agree.
This is
the best. If I were the judge, she would be the winner. She would win the maxi
challenge. Fully won the maxi challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That was so strange. Like I'm not even mad at them being like, we're going to judge runway and this separately. Great, whatever. Kana should have won for the acting.
If this was Drag Race US, Kana would be the winner of the week's episode.
Absolutely. Maybe they were like, because, you know, based on what Jeannie has said, they're so into honoring the theme that they felt maybe that performance did not honor the theme of drama. Maybe that's it.
I mean, okay, I get. I mean, weird flex, but okay.
I know. Comedy is drama, and like, it should be just, it should get the same love, but it's not in this moment. So, whatever. Tormai plays that rich woman who just loves her own purses so much she kisses and hugs them.
Boring.
And then Kim Hwai is the doll that first transforms into a human form.
Yes.
Like this Fun. Look.
Loved it.
I like the look.
Love Kim Hwai. Listen, to me, Kim Hwai can do no wrong.
This bare-chested sort of large golden baby is a very cool look.
And the white makeup too, that must have taken so long. And then she put like a hairy mole on it. I mean, there's thought to detail that Kim Hwai does that most queens just do not think about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she looks fine. And then Srimala.
Oh, no. Bless her little heart.
Bless her hearts. Also bless the hearts.
Bless the hearts on Oscar Fox. Montoya. Watch it. Sunday on Fox. Animation. Domination. I'm on the show.
She's on the show. Listen to it. So she plays this sort of weird stabby ghost. She has, and
but explain to me why she was wearing boy jeans. Did you clock those man pants she had on?
I'm looking at
and her underwear showing, her literal underwear showing. She was running around trying to stab. Kana.
I will say the Grudge Girl makeup is very good. Her
makeup is great.
It's
neck
great.
Up, stunning. But stunning. The fuck is going on downstairs, Srimala? I love you.
Yeah.
You're my sister, but girl.
Yeah.
I would have docked major points for that lazy ass look you got.
It is pretty lazy, goofy. I mean, but I don't understand what's happening in this sketch because I guess these little ghost dolls just want to kill, and I don't know why they want to kill. Great. Okay.
There's no, yeah. But you know what? That's for the prequel. We got to watch the prequel of the Haunted Dolls.
What I do like about this is that I'm pretty sure Srimala stabs the rich woman in the pussy at some point.
Yep. Yes. And there's, oh my God, the way that this is shot, it just feels like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon because the sound effects are just off the wall.
The framing of... The sound effects make Scooby-Doo seem grounded. They are so crazy. And it made
like the Flintstones be like Hulu's A Teacher.
Which is also very controversial.
Very controversial.
Because that whole show is like the whole show is like horny, cummy. Teacher fucking. And then
I mean,
at the end,
it's grooming is what it is. It's like
grooming.
It's heterosexual grooming, which is a problem.
But then they're like, hey guys, this is with one disclaimer at the end. They're like, this is really serious. And this show you saw about sex wasn't sexy. So like go to this website so you can learn more. It's like,
yeah.
Well then why did you make the show?
I mean, oh Lord.
Why'd you make it all sexy?
Because the genders are different. It's a girl being a predator and not the boy. And that never happens.
That's a problem.
Anyway, so that's the vibe you get when you watch the Flintstones compared to this Haunted Dolls clip.
Exactly the point I wanted to make. So, whatever. That happens. She spits blood. Great. Awesome work. The second team does the same thing. Anjali is more of a sweet friend than a plastic surgery friend. She's just sort
nuanced
of a sweet friend.
Performance. Yeah.
And Vonda looks great. You know, she looks kind of like Beetlejuicy to me. Like,
she does.
You know, like a Lydia's sister, if you will. Mm-hmm. I like that look a lot.
Yeah,
Mocha,
chlamydia. Yeah, chlamydia deets.
Chlamydia deets. You fucking rotted bitch. was it fun for you being in the movie when you got to play the wedding officiant? Was that a fun role for you to play?
Oh my gosh, and I love your hands when they came out of that bowl in that climactic scene.
Thank you.
Really great. I could tell that you didn't lotion, obviously.
Thank you.
That was the point.
I was going to say it's so great that makeup had to do nothing to get the look they wanted from you. I think that was really great. You cut. Okay. Mocha is a weird doll. Okay, sure, whatever.
Sure. And then she looks fine.
She looks fine, but I will say the looks of Genie and who's playing the corpse bride? Is it? I don't know. No one knows.
Oh my
knows.
God. Truly forgettable.
Truly forgettable. I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like when you cover up your face, I can't tell who you are.
It was Bandit. With like that weird, Tim Burton corpse bride look.
Yes. Now, I would say, Mocha's look is kind of the worst, right?
100%. I mean, Genie's was like actually serviceable, and Bandit's was creative, you know? Uh-huh. I was a little confused as to why the eyeballs had to be there, but... But
this,
Mocha was a little like, huh? What? Okay, whatever.
To use more improv verbiage, this really felt like a group game with no leader. Mm-hmm, so a group scene with no leader, like
at UCB, it's called a mono group game. Oh, you didn't know that?
No one told me that.
Oh my God. Wow.
No one told me that.
Really?
No one told me that.
Oh my
that.
Gosh. Because that's in the curriculum. That's.
Curriculum. Well, you know what they call a scene with a lot of confidence and a lot of confidence, but no substance? You know what they call it. I don't even have the time to tell you. You know what they call it. So, this is wild. I will say what the only fun thing that happened to me in this scene is when Vonda screams, "They're gonna kill me. They wanna eat my pussy."
Yes! Yes, that is the best part.
What is happening?
And you know that wasn't in the Thai version. That was her just squeezing that in there.
Yeah, that was her squeezing that in there. This is bad. And I am shocked that this team won, because
They're both bad.
I genuinely thought this one was worse. I genuinely did, because there's less commitment here. There's more of a gray, blurred line on what's happening. Mm. The characters are less distinct. This one was not the winner for me.
Okay, well, how does it feel like to be wrong? Because I disagree. And the reason why they did win
feels
is
good
because
to be wrong. Feels good.
Okay. You should know. The characters are, better developed. I think that the ghost had their own personality and there wasn't any sloppy looks.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe for Mocha, but there wasn't no real sloppy looks like Srimala's sloppy look in the first half.
Sure.
And I think Anjali's performance was nuanced enough, and Vonda just looked truly the best out of anyone in that challenge. So the only thing that was working for the first team was that Kana was in there. But, you know, the judges hate Kana, I guess. So, keep it moving.
Well, I mean, I will say you probably have more expertise on this. Because, as someone who's been
on... What is she going to say?
Dozens.
What the fuck is she going to say to me?
someone who's been ghosted.
What trash is she
for someone who's been ghosted on dozens of Grindr dates, you probably have a lot more experience with ghosts. So I have to defer to your expertise.
You know what,
this.
Bitch?
What?
The truth hurts, okay? The truth hurts.
Oh my god. Okay. Agree to disagree. I just think Mocha looks hot.
You mean in the runway or in general?
I mean his ghost look is just him in tiny booty shorts.
He does have thighs for days.
My god.
Those thighs.
Those thighs could fucking fill the Grand Canyon, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That's very good. Okay. So now we can talk about the runway. This runway happens. It starts with, of course, Aria and Pangina coming out and what seems to be a silver screen motif. It seems like what they're doing.
I think quite literally silver.
Exactly. Screen. Yeah. I did not like Art's look.
Me neither. It was a little lazy to me.
It was not...
which is shocking because Art is always stunning, and this was a bit of a miss. It was a boot for sure.
It was some Kylie Minogue scraps. It was not good.
You know what it was? It was what the princess wore.
Girl,
when she
went home, when she lip synced against Dita. Uh-huh.
That was the vibe.
That was it. And this is where the big rhinestones are messy.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know what happened with Art. But you know, Pangina brought it, as always.
Pangina looks pretty great. She looks great. It's not the number one best thing she's worn, but
everything she wears is like a 20 out of 10. But this one was like a 10 out of 10 for me.
You're right. It's good. And like, it's good. And it just looks... The short hair works because everything else is popping with the gigantic fan collar and the sort of sexy Mighty Morphin Power Ranger pantsuit. It's cool. It's really cool.
I love it.
Love, love, love. Okay, now we can talk because this runway is Hollywood themed.
Wait, but then there was that other judge that was in drag as well.
Yes.
I didn't know who that person was, so... Forgive me. I didn't know who he was.
I also did not know exactly who they were, but I think if I'm not mistaken, it was one of the face men who was then put into drag. Is that possible?
Okay. Maybe, but the gag, I mean, a lot of people gagged because it's like, this person does not do drag normally, and they did drag for the show, which actually would be nice, like a nice little takeaway for the American audiences to maybe have them typically male. I mean, I guess that's what like drag... Celebrity Drag Race was supposed to do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But let's have these judges dress in drag once in a while.
Let's have them dress in the drags. The only thing I could say is, this was not really that big of a deal, but in the workroom, Anjali is worried about how the challenge went. Vonda talks about being a police worker. And Mocha talked about how the community is pretty shitty towards drag queens. All facts.
Yes. True.
Yes. I wonder what it's like in Thailand. You know what I mean? Because like, I think here in America, we're rounding the corner a little bit on, you know what I mean? Because drag is so sexy now, or like drag queens are very sexy in the queer community. And, you know, people want to fuck them now. I wonder if that's changed in Thailand or not.
I mean, do you remember season 1 and 2 of Drag Race US when all they could talk about was how weird it was to find somebody who would date drag queens, you know? Like, that was, like, the storylines of that in those two seasons entirely.
Like, oh, my God. And, like, there's some, of course, I'm sure she regrets it. There's some regrettable moments in, like, old Untucked and, like, when Jiggly in season 4 is, like, dating another drag queen is gross. That is gross.
Yes.
That is gross to me. That is what I said. And it's like, oh, girl.
I know. Really, it has not aged very well. But, you know, I think also there's something to be said about, regardless of where we are, there is that idea of fetishist.
Oh, girl. She's trying to say a long word.
I can't speak. Oh, my God.
She's trying to say a $2 word.
English is my second language, so.
Okay, excuses.
Fetishizing the drag community, you know? There is that reality that happens. So, in terms of turning the corner, yes, but there's also a part of me that is like, how much of that is fetishizing? Especially because, you know, we both can speak on that, being POC and then, you know, in the dating world and being like, okay, well, how much of this is your genuine interest in me and how much of this is you fetishizing caramel skin, honey?
Yeah, and I mean, let's talk about that just a little bit because I have only dated POC personally, and I think it's safe to say it's because we know what it feels like to just be outside of that, of what we, the gay experience is truly the gay white experience, or you know what I mean? Or like what we see, what we see on TV. And like, when you think about queer shows, queer as folk, especially, it's like when you think about queer narratives, they're really only explored from the white gay experience, and they're rarely given to POC. And now we're seeing it a little bit with Pose, but we're also seeing some of the problems that come with that, because it's like white gays get to be happy and rich, and if you're a POC gay, you're gonna have AIDS on a TV show.
Like, yeah, that's, yeah, that's, or you're like is. Just a decoration for, because you know there are POC in those like white gay shows, but they're always seen as sort of like the supporting, the Christmas ornament, you know what I mean? Just like very sort of like, I would say peripheral characters. So us as gay POC, we've sort of been accustomed and trained by media to act like peripheral characters in a white narrative space.
Totally.
That's why shows like Noah's Ark that was on Logo was so transformative for me as a young gay, because the norm was black men, black gay men talking about their experience. And to me, that was like completely revolutionary and is a big part of why I owned my queer POC self, you know?
Yeah.
It's to shows
and
like that.
And that show is given very little credit, obviously.
I mean,
none.
Unjustly so. It's a tragedy. How many of y'all listeners know Noah's Ark?
Hit me up.
Let me know.
Right?
And if you don't, do your research. It is life-changing, especially if you're a POC queer person. Like, it is truly life-changing.
Work.
Maybe it might not have aged as well. I don't know. It's like, been a while, obviously, but still important.
Well, just like any of those shows, I mean, look, there are moments that are goofy doofy. There are moments, you know, that any show like that that is about, that trivializes, you know, love and relationships, like Sex and the City, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
There are moments that have not aged perfectly, but so what? Everyone deserves to like have that show that, especially in an experience that they can relate to.
But I think we're talking about visibility, and the visibility is very important.
Work.
For all people. For all people. And I'm not just talking about POC. I'm talking about differently abled as well. Like, we need more of that. We need more of that.
And that was part of a segment we like to call The More You Gag.
Oops, oops, oops.
Ooh, yikes.
Can we auto-tune that?
Can.
Ferris, any way to do that? Bitch, if Paris Hilton can release an album,
right,
so could you.
Thank you.
It's possible.
Even then the stars are blindly.
Ooh, that song's a bop. Not gonna lie. Blind. That song is really good.
You would.
It's a good song. I don't fucking care. I'm gonna say it. That song is good. Not great. It's good, period. It's good.
Okay, period. Let's talk about this Hollywood runway, because this is an incredible runway top to bottom.
Love it. And the theme is Hollywood.
Hollywood. Which is your favorite Madonna song ever created?
Oh my God, really? Really?
Everybody comes to Hollywood.
Seems like it's your favorite song. That's what it sounds like to me.
Do you remember how the song ends? It's like, push the button, don't push the button.
Oh
trip
my
the station,
God.
Change the channel.
What era of Madonna was that?
This is American. This is right. It was when she released America, her cover of American Pie. So it's post Beautiful Stranger.
What album was that?
It was not good. It was not good.
Was that a Burning Up era?
It's pre Burning Up.
Pre Burning Up. Okay.
So we were like, I don't know about it. And then Confessions on the Dance Floor took us out.
And that's the Burning Up.
That is, yeah, that is an incredible
album. Because
that
song is actually good.
That whole album. Okay. Maya Bijarro giving us Maleficent
which is like
fucking, it's great,
so stunning. The firework is so impressive, and guess what, the judges were not gagged.
What?
Gagged me. I was like, wait, what? Her hands are burning. You're
her
yawning?
Hands are on fire and they don't give a shit. What is
it's
happening?
So crazy. It's so crazy. Okay, so on one hand, she fucking set her fucking hands on fire. That shit is hard to do, especially with a drag queen and your whole body isn't burning up either.
Right?
The amount of product that's on your fucking face, like, oh my God, so much could go wrong.
So much
Number
could
two,
go wrong.
On the other hand, Maleficent drag is such a go-to in the queen community.
Maleficent for drag queens is like Harley Quinn for straight women. It's like...
That's... You know what? It's the first thing that you said that was correct.
I'll fucking take it. Because you're right.
In your entire fucking life.
I'll fucking Mana. Take it because I take my wins. I don't dwell on my losses.
It shows, bitch. It shows.
Bo, you cunt. So, well, when you win something, let me know. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be your cheerleader. Okay, so maybe that's it. They were just like, Maleficent, really, girl?
I think so, yeah. I think that was what did her in. Because she could have been anybody. Also, when did Maleficent ever set anything on fire?
I don't know if she ever has. Well, no, that's not true. Is it because at the end of Sleeping Beauty, she plays like a fire dragon, remember?
Like a dragon? Why can't she be a dragon?
Well, girl, she's trying. I don't know.
I mean... It seems like the Thai judges were not into that at all.
They were not.
Trying is not good enough for them.
For me, it's a chirp, though. I think this is good. I agree.
Even though Maleficent drag is a big old yawn.
Yeah.
The stunt was pulled, and I was
here for it. The stunt was pulled, and the page was had. Mm-hmm. So next is Bandit, and she's giving us three different movies in one, which is incredible.
I mean, unbelievable.
Ghost in the Shell. Last Samurai. Kill Bill. Exactly. Samurai. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And I think it's pretty clever to do Japanese movies in the Hollywood lens.
Mm-hmm.
There's something quite interesting about an Asian person taking white movies about Asian culture and then sort of like co-opting that. I just think it's actually very, very brilliant.
That's interesting. Because I mean, like, that is actually interesting.
Because that whole thing with Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson, it was like all whitewashed and stuff. Like, I think there's power in Bandit showing up and being like, I'm an Asian person, like, actually doing.
She could be honoring the original Ghost in the Shell, but either way.
Oh, the anime. That is true. That's a good point.
That's a good one.
But that's not technically Hollywood. See, I would have docked points. It's like, that anime is not Hollywood.
Interesting.
It's Japanese anime, so.
You would have docked. You are such that judge. You are such
Listen.
A.
Listen, you got to come correct or don't come at all.
Come at all. So I love the graphic face makeup. It alludes to
love it.
The rising sun flag. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Yes. This is a
and also
chirp.
The fact that she walked like she was wearing sneakers. She was wearing flats and walked like she was wearing high heel shoes.
Yeah.
Chirp.
Chirp, 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 chirp. Next, we have Mocha. Mocha Diva.
And Mocha Diva giving us what exactly?
I don't know. I mean, it reminds me of iconography I've seen in like Thai
but bitch,
folklore.
Is it Hollywood.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's not quite.
It's a cute look. I mean, don't get me wrong. She looks absolutely stunning, but the bitch did not meet the requirements.
They love it. They fucking love it. And
they gagged. But I was like, yo, where was that? When Maya Bihara was like lighting her fucking ass on fire.
They're calling it Queen of the Damned, but I don't remember
Girl, what
that.
Damned? What damned? With the wings? What damned?
I don't remember Akasha, Queen of the Damned, wearing that. Anything
Where,
like that.
Bitch? Where? Where, the hit? Where was the hit movement, huh?
I don't know. Thank
you. Claim to be Queen of the Damned? Walk like your motherfucking Aaliyah, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They gave her a big pass, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Kana, warrior. Okay, this is funny. This is kind of funny and confusing, because she comes out with a Darth Vader moment, and then she's holding a lightsaber, and she has a Voldemort face. Okay.
Yes. It's a little bit Clash of the Franchises.
It's a Clash of the Franchises. I mean,
and
those...
a lot of the shade was given to the fact that it was very cosplay and not enough fashion. Which, do you agree or disagree?
You know, I do think the bottom, I don't know, I liked it. I mean, to me, she should have absolutely been safe, because if not absolutely safe, if not winning part of it, because she met the challenge. This is Hollywood. Like,
yes. And also giving us a twist. Like, it wasn't just a Darth Vader and Voldemort look. It had the crown, had like her neck piece had like black roses on it. Like, she elevated the look in a way. And the bitch looks stunning. Don't dare tell me she looked bad.
Totally.
The prosthetic she had on her face, up close, you could see some of the creases and crinkles. But from far, that bitch was Voldemort, bitch. That was Voldemort in a motherfucking dress. And I was living for it.
It was great. It was, I mean,
the way they did her dirty, I mean, I can't believe the nerve.
The nerve. I wonder if she just had, this is hard to brainstorm, but if it was more clearly half Harry Potter, half Star Wars, maybe that would have sold it even more. If it was like even more clearly, like, I am giving you these two franchises together.
I think, you know, the choice, the way she she messed up because she put them together. She should have just done a clear Voldemort look without the helmet and just give us a wand instead of a lightsaber.
Or
Darth Vader with his like weird pockmarked face at the end of the sixth movie.
Yeah.
With the lightsaber and the mask. Like,
that
they both would have worked.
That would have totally weirdly worked. Yeah.
She got too ambitious.
She got too excited.
Yeah.
I'm still going to chirp it because I like it.
That's his chirp with a capital C. I want to say that was one of the best looks.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Shrimala is giving us Lion King. Tell me how you really feel.
It's cute. It's cute. It's a cute look. I mean, I like it, but very much like I agreed with the judges. It's just, it looks like a broom end at the top.
It is one of the better things she's worn. But
100%.
Just like bag of chips, she gets a pass because
she gets a huge pass. Yeah,
they just like her. They just think she's fun. Because I mean, there's some shape issues.
Yeah, I mean, I like the intention. She's given us a Julie Taymor version of the Lion King. If the challenge was Broadway, props to you. But this is Hollywood. Give us either a CGI'd fake ass Simba look.
Right.
Or give us a Nina Bonina Brown two-dimensional drawing of motherfucking Simba. Okay?
And like, give me more Bibi Zahara Bene. Give me more Rakatiti.
Without appropriating, of course.
Without appropriating.
Maybe that's too late.
I mean, give me Lion, give me Tigress on the runway. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, give me Lion or give me Tigress, bitch. Make up your mind. Like, what? You giving me missed signals.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, are you seriously coming for me because of those two words? Are you really?
Well, it just seems like it's a Darth Vader Voldemort moment that you just gave me.
Okay.
Is it lion or is it tiger, bitch?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, maybe
what do you want me to bring to the runway?
Maybe I'm just fetishizing.
why she got to dig it? She really loves punching below the belt, doesn't she? She really does love punching me in the motherfucking balls, huh?
I would love to. I that's what I live for. It's what I do. So, Jeannie. Okay, Jeannie's giving us, she says it's Sherlock Holmes. Look, it's gorgeous. Look.
Stunning. I would say the best she's has ever looked. That outfit is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
pink
a weird reinvention.
Tooth.
Exactly, yes.
Stole it's the gorgeous. Words right out of my mouth.
But, bitch, where?
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, where?
Yeah.
In the magnifying glass? Come on.
I mean, it's the magnifying. It's just a stunning dress and then a magnifying glass.
She should have just said, I'm giving you Sherlock Gnomes. And been like, and everyone be like, okay, I guess since I've never seen that movie, she must be Sherlock Gnomes.
You're a really big fan of the sequel, right? Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, tell me why that. No, Sherlock Gnomes was the sequel for Romeo and Juliet, bitch.
Ew.
So come correct. So come correct. If you're going to come for me,
you admitted
come
that.
Correct.
I can't believe.
What? You look stupid.
You look stupid. I am so embarrassed for you.
You look stupid.
So embarrassed.
Let the record show. Mono looks stupid.
You're right. Everyone is going to know that immediately. Everyone's going to be like, going to know the chronological order of the gnome movies. You suck. Okay. Okay. Next is Vonda, Miss Joachim.
Yes, coming in with an Audrey Hepburn look, Breakfast at Tiffany, and then there's like caution tape, which I was like, huh?
Huh? Yeah, I was a little huh. I was like, did homegirl get murdered? Right? I mean, if you're going to be Natalie Wood. Don't give me...
Oops. Damn, she really got to go there. Damn.
She went there. And then she becomes Betty Boop, I guess.
I mean, I like the idea of it. And the judges fucking loved it. But to me, this is, again, another thing of, like, the Voldemort Darth Vader gate.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, well, are you Audrey Hepburn or are you Betty Boop? Come to me with a Betty Boop look.
Yeah. What's the story?
It was weird.
It was weird that she gets props for this and Kana gets absolutely dinged for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They just love Betty fucking Boop. So next is Miss Gimwai. Oh, girl. Giving us Maxine.
The star. The actual star.
On a real scooter with the skull
face. I mean, no
face.
Question, right? Like, the bitch won this challenge a mile away.
It was awesome.
Gave us presentation.
She did.
She gave us a reveal even.
Right? She fucking built a big bike thing out of a little razor.
I can't believe it.
And the hair was really cool. This like white.
The whole look stunning.
I don't even understand what's happening. So like she has like glow sticks and like smoke coming out of her.
Yeah. So like fire, it's supposed to like exude fire or something.
Yeah.
Like a car or whatever.
Wow.
But she looks like a red post-apocalyptic biker chick. And, you know, I stand every second of it.
The high ponytail, the skull makeup. Yep. The right queen won the whole runway. So that was good.
Agreed.
Work. Next is Miss... It's a chirp. Anjali Anang coming up as Beyonce.
Beyonce. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
What do we think
now,
here?
Now, look. Does she look absolutely beautiful? Yeah.
No question.
She does. But she's soft. I mean, look, the details are right.
I mean, she's giving you real. She's going for
realness.
No fantasy here.
There is no fantasy. That is, but against everyone else on the runway.
Also, like Beyonce, Hollywood? To me, it just feels like, what?
Right.
Give us Beyonce in Cadillac Records.
Oh.
Give us Beyonce in
Dreamgirls.
Give us Beyonce in yes, maybe even Lion King. Give us Beyonce in Gold Member.
Uh huh.
You know, give us. Oh my God! What was that movie that she did with Ellie Landry?
Girl,
Revenge?
I don't know.
Oh, girl, shut the fuck up! This is gay canon, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
The
for
one
a
where
second.
You shut your fucking
where
mouth.
She Ellie Landry. Oh my God. I'm truly embarrassed.
I know the movie.
Is it Revenge?
It's like a Lifetime movie. And then
she's stupid. Now you're really showing your
girl
ignorance to the people. Now you're really showing
it. It is like a Lifetime movie. If you listen to what I'm saying, it is like a Lifetime movie.
Oh, I'm a bitch. The
world
is listening.
And it's like about domestic disputes or some shit.
No, that's not enough. That's J-Lo, bitch.
I hate you. Whatever. This is unfortunate. I mean, I still want to chirp it, but I'm gonna burp it because I have to burp something. This is a burp.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I like the way she. Yeah.
She looks absolutely incredible. Is why I'm thinking about chirping, but I'm just gonna burp it to be fair to the work everyone else put in.
And she looks like the cover of what was that Beyonce album? Dangerously in Love. I want to say.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds right.
It's obsessed. It's called Obsessed.
Obsessed. Okay,
Beyonce movie Obsessed.
Work.
She could have done that. Anyway.
She could have done that and everyone would have been like, oh, that's Beyonce from Obsessed.
Everyone would, bitch.
Every single person. You're right. So wait, whatever. It's a chirp or a burp for yous.
I'm going to burp it because it just didn't meet the requirements.
Right. Right.
But she looks stunning and she's amazing. And apparently Anjali does do Beyonce drag. Like, that's what she does.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Which is like, okay, well, that's showing off your Beyonce skills.
That makes sense. It's pretty good. Pretty good. So finally, we have Tormai giving us an Audrey-type thing on this weird carpet she's rolled out for herself. And then she walks away as the Oscar statue. This wasn't it for me.
I mean, it's a chirp. Can we just keep it moving? There's really nothing to add here. But
it's a chirp for you?
I mean, not chirp. I'm sorry, burp.
Thank you. It's a burp.
A big old burp.
It's a burp. And they gagged. They were like, yes, this is it. We love it. You're safe. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
She would have been in the bottom for me.
Totally. So here we go. Anjali is down on her feelings. She's sick of the stunts. Pangina's faves are Mocha and Kim Kwai. The runway winner is, in fact, Kim Kwai. Correct.
Yay! Yeah.
Now, they're calling Team International, Team Thai. Team International wins, which I disagree with, but you don't. And
I don't.
They praise them. Kim Kwai is safe because she won the runway. Srimala and Kana. Oh, then they ask each other who should go home.
Yeah.
Srimala and Kana both say Maya Bijaro.
Ooh, they're coming for Maya. I mean, this ain't the first time it's happening. Maya was picked last in the challenge, you know. You know,
and Maya breaks my heart when she says herself. Ugh.
I know. I hate it when queens do that. It's just like, well, then, okay, you are going home.
You are going home. So now we have another tortured moment where they say Anjali would have been lip syncing, but is not.
I mean, what a gag. And it's Kana that goes in the bottom two instead.
And Tormai is safe. For what reason, I can't tell you.
God only knows.
Because they both should have been safe, but at the very least, one of these bottom two should have been safe on their better runway. They had better runways.
Agree.
She put her hands fully on agree. Fire.
Again, this is the stunt that Jeannie was warning us about. Like, we are able to see the freaking wires on the marionettes. Like, yes. Okay, we're seeing... The producers being like, you know what? We're going to make the choices because everyone is so good. We're just going to pick who we need to go home.
Totally.
And nothing is more relevant than what happens after the lip sync, which is...
Okay, the lip sync is great. I think Kana slays it. Maya's hairless. Oh my God.
You know, but Maya surprised me with how good she did. But come on, that was Kana. Kana pissed all over that fucking runway.
Kana did it. She really, really, really did. Maya's looking into the camera too much.
Do you know how fucking hard it is to lip sync against a prosthetic?
I know.
I've done it before, bitch. And that shit is hard.
Crazy.
You know? And for Kana to do it and see it looks so flawless and perfect. Ooh, girl. I'm furious. I'm so mad right now.
Why can't they just be like, if you're going to keep putting her in the bottom and she keeps killing it and she did good in the main. Why are we cutting her?
Well, you know, Art said it. Art was like, this is your third time. You're going.
Right. And of course,
it was like
them.
Simply put, like, this is your third time in the bottom. You're going home. Even though, you know,
and they cut them both. And it's very emotional.
It is. Because they both did well. It's like, that's the crazy thing is that they both did. They weren't no Charlie High. You know what I mean? That's it. Ooh, the bar is so high in Drag Race Thailand that like even doing your best can still send you home.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It is fucking wild. It is too crazy. I hated it. But it was good TV. It was,
look how gracious Kana was.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
you wouldn't know.
Dragging hair. I'd be like, no, you're going to get me. No. You're
it is a known
kill
fact.
Me first to drag me out of here.
That you have no class and no manners.
Hell no. Not no when class, I know I did well.
No
Hell
manners.
No. Absolutely not. You don't treat me with respect? Hell no. I will shit on this stage. You want to get rid of me? Fine, but my feces is staying.
My feces is, I'll tell you what, my feces is going to do a death drop on the main stage, and you will remember. I love it. I love it. Wow. Now we're going to see what happens next, Oscar. You are right. This is a true gaggy season. Thank you for talking with us on this really fun, stupid time on Drag Her. I want y'all to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be the best. Leave an unpopular opinion if you want to in the review. We'll talk
and
about
again,
it.
Leave also add a the cringiest moment in Drag Race history.
Do that too. Do that too. I'll
That's
read
canon
one really.
Now.
That is canon. I'm going to read one review, which is really nice, left by CGRHR. And it says, very funny. You're going to like this, Oscar. It says, 5 stars, very funny. This show is so freaking funny, especially when Mono is joined by Nicole or Oscar.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for making me cry. Do you hear that? Thank you for making me cry laugh today. Thank you for listening.
Oh, my God. So sweet. You know what? I should find... I'll be a regular co-host. Fine.
It's settled. I'll be in touch. My lawyers will be in touch.
Fine. I'll have my people talk to your people. Fine. Okay.
Which once again, your people is the customer service crew at Ross Dress for Less.
But why? See,
are
I'm
you doing
you, she
this?
Loves, damn. She loves to fucking, ooh. She's a little the belt.
She's
this
so mean,
girl
you
got
know,
her boxing gloves on. Ooh, she can't wait to punch.
All kidding aside, you are my sister. I love you deeply. And I do hate how much I love you.
Me too.
Love that.
The feeling is mutual.
Feelings mutual. Honey, what do you want to plug before we go, Oski?
You know, it's a little podcast that I started with my worst enemy, Mono Agapian. It's called Podcast Killed the Video Star. Ah! It is a music video podcast.
True.
Where we try to find the definitive top 100 music videos of all time. It's a
yes.
big task, and we cannot do it alone. That's why we ask the listeners to vote for which of the three videos featured in every episode gets to make it to the top 100 list.
That's
so
right.
It's an interactive podcast. So follow us at Podcast Killed the Video Star on Instagram and also on Patreon and also wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yep. You can vote right now on our Instagram for which video of the first week is your favorite. You can watch the first week's video totally free. Just find us on Instagram. I'm at Mono Agapian and Oscar's at Ozzymo.
Ozzymo.
Yes. Well, that's it. That's the gag of the season. And till next week. Bye, bitch.
Bye.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.